Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's program is Ann Rhodes, president of People Inc., which helps companies build values-based corporation cultures. She's author of the new book, Built on Values, Creating an Enviable Culture That Outperforms the Competition. Ann, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
So what is this thing called corporate culture?
Everyone has their own unique definition. Mine is the collection of all the behaviors of the organization. It's what people do, as Herb Kelleher said, when no one is looking. It's how you describe an organization like a Nordstrom's or a Southwest. And when you ask them, Southwest will typically tell you, oh, it's fun. It's great to get on the airline. People are happy. That's what we call culture.
So culture is important as it relates to the quality of corporate performance, customer relationships, also employee morale and motivation.
Absolutely. In fact, our premise is you are on the outside what you are on the inside. Without people being well served on the inside of the organization, it is very difficult to imagine them serving customers well.
All right. What do you see as the fundamental basis for culture?
My model is leaders drive values. You can tell what the values are by watching the behaviors of the leaders. Typically, those behaviors create the culture, and we believe the performance of organizations increases if you have a good culture, one where everyone is engaged.
Now, you were associated with JetBlue.
I was one of the five seniors that started it with Davidson.
Right, and you were also at Southwest Airlines.
Southwest was a great organization. Their culture ended up being defined by the behaviors of the leaders. They didn't sit in a room and say, these are the behaviors. At JetBlue, we defined the culture. When we only had 15 people, we said, this is what we want to feel and look like. And these are going to be the five values of the organization, and these are the behaviors that we want to see throughout the entire organization. And we actually started by evaluating Dave Barger, who's the CEO, on the values and the behaviors first.
Right.
Those two organizations have very strong cultures. In this recession, they were two that made the numbers when some of the others were not. And I believe it's because they have engaged people. JetBlue and Southwest, unlike other airlines, did not have any layoffs. At JetBlue Airways, we maintained our people, kept their benefits. So great cultures and great leaders think differently, you know? It's something that's almost intuitive.
Right. Now, before you can develop any changes in your culture, you have to understand your current culture.
Absolutely.
And how do you do that?
The first step is to begin a journey to talk about the cultures and to assess what they are and to make it a better place to work. You need to be transparent in that and lay out the case for change in the event it's necessary. Then you have to get an assessment team, and that assessment team should be people from all levels of the organization. What they begin doing is collecting any survey data that's out there from customers, from employees, if you have an employee survey. They also create an anonymous survey that's specifically designed to talk about the values the employees are currently living, because leaders don't always know what people feel about their behaviors and about the culture. Many times you talk to CEOs and they describe a culture that is non-existent in their organizations. You need to do some work to assess that. And the more people you get involved, the better it is. Then what you do is evaluate it and say, is this the culture we would like to see?
And is there anything else that you've found?
We believe you also create focus groups from all the levels of the organization. That's how you see problem areas, because you can have a great corporate culture, but you can have two or three impactful areas that don't have that culture because of the leaders or because of something that's in the organization that perhaps is causing them to not have the right culture as you see it as a leader. Then you have to look at the trends and the data and publish it so that everyone knows what the goal is versus where you're at, and then make a commitment to creating that culture that's unique to your organization.
Right.
Cultures are unique to an organization, and we all have a culture, good, bad, or indifferent. There are cultures that develop either by design or they just happen because people watch the behaviors of the leaders.
Okay. And when you're ready to change the culture, how do you bring your people with you?
The foundation of everything is what we call values blueprinting. You start with having a group of people from all levels in the organization, and we include customers or patients if we're in the healthcare world. We sit in a room, and it takes about a day and a half. If you have your values, we start with those values, and we define the behaviors that represent each of those values, and typically there are four or five of those. And those are the behaviors that we're going to hold everyone, starting with the board and the CEO, accountable for. Those behaviors will define the culture of the organization. But there's a whole process after that of rolling out this new culture change.
So what is that?
There's a soft rollout and then a harder rollout.
Mm-hmm.
You take your time, you go to the field after you've defined those, and you talk to as many people as you can in the organization. We've done it with Juniper Networks. They're in 30 countries, and they use this process. When we had the values blueprint, they actually brought in people from the various countries that they work in. We wanted to make sure that there was nothing we were creating that would somehow not be appropriate in their cultures. We made sure that we used the right words, and we had them look at it afterwards and filter it, make sure before we rolled it out. Then they go back to their members of the organization in that country and they start talking about it right away. So one of the reasons you want a lot of people in that original blueprinting exercise that represent all the groups is it creates an enthusiastic, energized organization.
Now, it seems that you can create a value-based culture that's multinational to affect everybody within the organization.
It took a while, a few months, to talk to people and get focus groups involved. But the more people that you energize and get involved, you'll get to say, well, maybe you should use this word instead of that word. Maybe this description, we should add this, or we should change this behavior. The more you start getting people that are engaged, because it's their culture they're describing.
Absolutely.
We have seen many times that people are all of a sudden excited about this. And sometimes it's just reinforcing the culture you have, but maybe you haven't paid attention to. See, people ask us to come change cultures, and we tell them we can't change it, but we can help you create the environment that will reinforce the culture that you want to see in your organization.
Now, once you've created a culture or an environment where the right kind of culture will exist, how do you sustain it?
You do that with surveys, you do that with focus groups, or in a variety of ways, depending upon your size and also the type of organization you are. But you need to set up a values committee, and that becomes the focal point in terms of the culture and maintenance of the culture. Culture is like everything else. You can't create it and think it will continue without maintaining it. At Southwest, we created culture committees. At JetBlue Airways, we created values committees for each of the work groups. We tell them they are in charge of maintaining and encouraging and keeping this culture alive, along with all the leaders, of course.
Of course.
You have to have a system, and that system includes engaging people in helping you achieve the metrics, helping you define what metrics you're going to look at.
Right. But how do you do that?
For instance, for JetBlue, when we started 11 years ago, we decided our people would be involved from day one in the numbers and in the metrics. And we have three or four metrics for each work group, and they get involved in helping us achieve those because the more people are engaged in everything, including the numbers, the greater your likelihood, first of all, of achieving those numbers, and secondly, greater the likelihood of people being excited about the company and being engaged in the achievement of success in the organization.
Mm.
So we teach the general metrics on the first day that they are in orientation.
Okay, another question. A lot of people are saying that culture should be built around transformational leadership, where people are rewarded not only financially, but also with opportunities for advancement, training opportunities, and so forth. Now, would you agree?
I have always believed that monetary rewards are very short-term. So I am a huge believer in rewarding people for the right behaviors and not necessarily incentivizing them with cash.
So what exactly do you suggest?
At Southwest, for example, we did not give monetary rewards. We would send letters to homes of people telling them and therefore their family how wonderful they were because of something they did. There were people that saved those for 20 years, and they would carry them in their uniforms during the day. It was always from one of the leaders, the CEO, or one of the senior players, and that was so significant, meant so much. And yet, if we had given them a check, think about it, they would have taken it home, taxes are taken out, and all of a sudden, it's irrelevant. Mary Kay, who started Mary Kay Cosmetics, used to say that there's something that's more important to people than sex, it's recognition. And I love that saying. She said recognition and rewards that are not monetary but are really meant are so much more impactful. When the great leaders that I've known say thank you. It means so much to people. And as long as they're making a reasonable salary, that's more important than a one-time event with cash.
And I think another thing is that when companies engage in significant change, like mergers and acquisitions, divestitures, the issue of culture becomes important.
Totally agree. I've been involved in 7 mergers and acquisitions. In one case where it failed, it was totally because of cultures coming together that did not work well. No one was actively engaged in bringing them together. And by the time we started working on it, it was too late. It's critically important in the case of mergers and acquisitions to have a defined culture when you go into the organization, or to quickly define the culture you want for the merged organization. And we're working with one now that has a combination of many, many companies, and they want everyone engaged in one culture. So now we're saying, let's define that culture, but let's get people from each of those groups in here to make sure that we come together from the beginning.
Now, before we wrap up, do you have any other key points you want to leave our audience with?
I would tell you, once you define the culture, to have a system for hiring people, not just for competencies, but for the values and the behaviors. It's predictable. If you have a behavioral hiring model, make sure that includes the values.
Right.
We hire people that are technically competent and forget to look for the match for the culture. And everyone in the organization should be part of the hiring model. Peers should hire peers. We don't believe it should just be an HR project, never have. It's a critical part of having a strong culture.
We've been speaking to Anne Rhodes, author of the new book, Built on Values, Creating an Enviable Culture That Outperforms the Competition. Anne, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's been great talking with you.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET, that's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.